All right. Good morning, everyone. You guys are doing well. So we are in the middle of our series of 9 marks of a healthy church. What are the marks of a healthy church? And so we actually started off with this idea of expository preaching. If you weren't here for that, expository preaching is this idea where you take a passage and you go through that passage, verse by verse, and kind of explain, try to say what the author said, right? And then we kind of put that against topical preaching. And so topical preaching is this idea where you take a topic, whether it be resurrection or something like that, and you take verses and you kind of put it towards you kind of take verses and you try to explain that topic and what we're talking about. And so we started with expository preaching, and so actually one person one of the members had mentioned that, you know, we began this series with expositional preaching, but then the whole series is all topical, right? And so I think they jokingly said, you know, is the pastoral staff trying to test us today, you know? Are they trying to test us? But here's the thing. Once again, topical preaching can be done expositionally, you know, if we stay true to the word. I think we want to say it's a danger that, you may step outside the borders of what the author is trying to say, outside of what the Bible is trying to say. So we've tried to do that every time, though. So in our preaching series, we try to do each sermon. We try to do it expositionally and whatnot. And so, but now we come to this mark, another mark called a church membership, right? And so there's this mark of church membership. But the thing is, church membership is not in the Bible, okay? Well, at least those exact two words, church membership, is not in the Bible. Like, if you look it up, you won't be able to find it. So if anything, today this really is going to be a test. Like, you're going to have to see, is what I'm saying, like, am I really just pulling it out of the air? Am I trying to make it where it's like my own agenda? I'm trying to, you know, try to get you to do what I want you to do. Like today's going to be the test. Like, what is what I'm saying from the word? Like, is what I'm saying, you know, like is church membership from, am I being true to it when I'm talking about church membership? And so today, in order to talk about church membership, I'm going to ask a few questions. There are 3 questions. We're going to go as, where is it in the Bible? The second question is, what is the purpose of church membership? And then the last question we're going to talk about is, how do we carry out our church membership? And so if you can, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. So the question we're going to ask right now is, where is it in the Bible So why don't you keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the question is, where is church membership in the Bible? And the thing is, the word membership is not in the Bible, but the word member is in the Bible. So membership is not in the Bible, but member, the word member, is in the Bible. But also, if you look at some of those passages where it talks about, like we are the body of Christ, and, you know, that could represent the whole body, the universal church. But also it can mean a local church. And so what I like to say is that this idea of church membership, is like a biblical concept, kind of like when we talk about Trinity. Right. So the idea of Trinity, the idea of God being, you know, being 3 persons in one, like, that idea is not in the Bible. Like, if you look up Trinity, Trinity is not there. It is a biblical concept, right? You'll never see a verse, right, or you know, the words, you know, God is 3 and 1 in the Bible, but rather, even though the idea of the Trinity is not explicitly said or talked about, it is implied like all throughout the Bible. And so and that is the same way with church membership. It's not going to be explicitly talked about, but it's going to be implied. And I think Kevin DeYoung says this. He says, the bottom line is that if you're looking for a verse that talks about membership class and certificates of transfer, you won't find it. But if you're looking for the concept that defines a community, defines the in of a community or out of, if you're out of a community, if you're looking for concepts like record keeping, covenant making, submission to a recognized body that exercises authority over the circumcised group, you'll find that in both testaments. So this concept of membership can be found in the Bible, but what concept do we actually look at? Like, that's the question right now. Like, where is it in the Bible? It's all over the Bible, so you just have to know where to look or know what you're looking for. What concept do we look at? Because the concept is kind of in everywhere in the Bible where it talks about that we are members of a body, right? It talks about we are a flock of sheep, right? And it talks about maybe we are the brine, we are the branches and he's the vine. So, you know, we are, or, you know, another concept is like we are the bride of Christ, right? And so it is everywhere in the Bible. You just have to, you know, there are all these different concepts of this church membership, this idea of togetherness, of this together, this idea of we are in a covenant community. We are a people together. This idea of do we submit together? Do we submit under someone? So it is everywhere. You just got to say, hey, you know, there are concepts. So this leads me to my second question, though. The second question is, what concept do we look at? Or more specifically, I want to look at one concept that I looked over, kind of studied, and some people that I've read upon, they like to use this idea that the church as an embassy. So what is the purpose? The second question is, what is the purpose of membership, right? And so to answer that, I want to use the concept of the church as an embassy. And so if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so if you look at this, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So we are all ambassadors. This church membership is this idea of we are all ambassadors. So I looked up the definition of an ambassador. The ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So let's say if you work for the government and you were sent off to another country, whether it be China or maybe going to Europe, and so you go into the embassy there, and you are the representative of the United States in that country. And so the church itself, what we're doing here, the purpose of church membership, and what we're doing here is the church's king is Jesus. The church's ruler is Jesus, and he's the ruler of this earth, and we are all citizens who have submitted to his kingship. And so we are his representatives kind of in this foreign land, because this is not our home. Yeah, there's a future home that he's going to bring down his future kingdom. And so we're in this foreign land right now, and we are his representatives in this foreign land. So you have to think about the church as an embassy situated here on earth in a foreign land. Right? And so the purpose of the church is here to go, hey, we validate someone's citizenship. We validate someone's, you know, are they part of the kingdom? Are you part of us? Are you one of our people, right? And so I remember going to Kenya. It was the same trip where I almost drowned, right? So we were there for a few weeks. And what happened was one of our members one of the team members, they lost their passports, right? So we actually think it was probably like the monkeys that were like living on top of our roof, right? I don't know why, but they were always around and they looked shady. So we kind of joked around about it. Like they lost their passport. Like they had it, I think she had it for one moment, and then in the next moment she got out of the car, it was gone, and it was weird. So but the thing is that my friend, like, she was a American citizen. Like, she didn't lose her citizen because she lost her passport. But the thing is, if we were to get on a plane and come back into the States, she wouldn't be allowed in, right? She wouldn't have been able to come back in without that passport. So what happened was she had to leave us for a few days and go to the U.S. embassy so that she can get another passport. And so if anything, this embassy validated her citizenship. They validated saying, hey, this is what, she's one of us. And so it wasn't like she lost her, you know, citizenship. It wasn't like she became a Kenyan for 2 days and whatnot, but rather this embassy validated her citizenship. And so the same way as a church, the church member, right? So for us, we represent Jesus, right? We don't lose our salvation. Right, we can't be converted and then, like we talked about last week, and then become unconverted. But rather, what the church does as a whole is, what we do here, the purpose of church membership is going, hey, do you or do you not belong inside this kingdom? We are here to affirm your proclamation. Because what you say as a church member, you say, look, I represent Jesus with my life and my doctrine. I represent Jesus. He is my King. He is my Lord. And so my life and everything I do will represent me following Him. And so what the church does as this embassy, or as, you know, what we do is go, yes, we affirm your faith. We affirm your citizenship. We affirm that you are one of us. We affirm by what you say. We affirm by your actions that you are one of us. So one thing that you have to see is that we are all responsible. If you are a church member in here, you are responsible to vouch and to affirm the proclamation of those around us. So you already begin to see an active, this is active process of, do I affirm you? And so we'll see how we will affirm each other. But for now, I just want to say, you know what? You have to see that you are to affirm one another. So just as the Bible establishes the government, right, and just as the Bible establishes the government as the highest authority, so the church is the highest authority when it comes to our citizenship, right? And the church becomes, the church is about their discipleship. Church is about, you know, do we see what you can do? And do we see your life? Do we see your faith? The church has the keys. And so that's another concept that I wanted to look at. We have the keys to, not salvation, but we have the keys to your faith. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 16. This is another thing where we find membership at. Matthew chapter 16, where the church has been given this authority. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. And so if you read this, it says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea in Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they say, some John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples not to tell no one that he was the Christ. So this is a lot going on in this passage, but we see that Jesus gives Peter and the apostles these keys. So what is this key, or what is he talking about? What is Jesus giving to Peter? So if you look at this, right, in the beginning of the story, at the beginning of this passage, he goes, who do people say I am, right? You know, like who am I? And people say, hey, he's one of the prophets, or he's John the Baptist, or Elijah. But then, if you look at this, right, Peter gets it right. He says, you are the Christ. So, but is this something that where he gets it from? But the question is, where does he get this from? Right? Where does Peter get his confession from? Look at it. He says, in verse 17, he says, for the flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father who is heaven. So Peter gets this authority. Peter gets his idea of, you know, who Jesus is from the Father. And so this is the authority given down. It is being handed down from the Father, who Peter gets to say, hey, you know what? You know, you know who is inside the kingdom. You know who gets to be in the kingdom because you know that I am the Christ. And so he begins, Jesus then goes on to look at, if you look at it, he continues on to saying in verse 18, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what is this? Jesus says, my church will be built on this rock. Some people will talk about, hey, is this rock Peter himself? Are we going to build this church on who Peter is? Or is it going to be built upon what Peter said? Oh, you are the Christ. And I think you can't separate the confessor from the confession, right? You can't separate what Peter said from Peter himself. But rather, you have to go, hey, you know, it is Peter the confessor. Jesus will build his church on the confessors, on those who say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so what Jesus is doing now in this is where he is going, look, my church will be about people who confess who I am. The church is all about who I am, and that's your role and your response. That will give you the keys to say who is a confessor of the faith. Who is the one who really confesses his faith, right? Because here's the thing, in verse 19, he says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the church has a responsibility of saying, if you say this person is a believer, is a professor, then I'm going to hold you. This is your responsibility. If you say this person is not part of your people, then this is your responsibility to say if they are or they not. So this is pretty big of us, right? This is a pretty big weight. This is very important, like, that we have to see, is someone not part of the family? Is someone salvation? Are they saved or are they not? And I do want to say, you know, it is hard for us to, we can't see someone's hearts, right? It is hard to really examine someone's heart. We really don't know. But we have been given this responsibility to examine. Because I've been asked by people, it's like, how can you tell if this person is saved? Right? You can't tell. So, you know, it's really about what they believe. And so if they say they should be baptized, then you should let them be baptized. But Jesus has given us this responsibility. The God has given the church this responsibility of saying, look, is this person a part of the covenant community? Because whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And I think that's hard, right? And so if we can't examine the heart, how are we supposed to say if someone is part of the community or not? And I think that's hard. And I don't mean that what we say is, I'm not saying that what if we say they're saved and then they're definitely going to be saved and that is for sure. But I think we have a responsibility because it's not our what we proclaim to say, hey, you know, it's what if we say you're saved, and then they're just going to be saved just like that. But I think church membership begins to it's more about the responsibility that's been given to us. And so this comes to our third point. So how do we carry out our membership? How do we say, how can we as say with authority, hey, you are part of this family. You are part of who, you know, you are part of the covenant community. Because it's not by our power that someone's saved, but I think it is by what we our responsibility in this, right? So how do we carry out our membership? And I do want to, is this going to be two things that I want to point out, and there are many different ways that we carry out a membership, but I do want to say that I just want to point out two things. And the first thing that how we carry out our membership is to be a part of the body. And in particular, be a part of this body, right? It is clearly seen in Scripture that we are to be in community, right? It is clearly seen in Scripture, all the Scriptures. So in Hebrews 10:24-25, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. In Acts 4:32, and it says, now the full member of those who believe were one heart and soul. No one said that any of these things that belonged to him were of his own. Any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common, right? And so there's this idea of togetherness. There's this idea of community. In John 13:35, he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so, and even that phrase, one another, if you were to look it up, one another is all over it, is all over Scripture, right? In Romans 12:10, it says to honor one another. In Romans 12:16, it says to live in harmony with one another. In Galatians 5:13, it says to serve one another. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says to care for one another. And so it is clearly seen in Scripture that we are to be a part of a body. We are to be part of a community. And so my question now is, are you visible in this community? Are you visible here? And what I mean by that is I don't mean like, you know, like, do we see you physically here for 75 minutes a day, a week? But does someone know, can someone see your life and see what it's like? Right? Do you know each other's burdens? And you know, Galatians 6:2, it says to bear one another's burdens. Well, does someone else in our congregation know your burden right now? Or have you been walking alone? Have you been visible? Because we can be visible for 75 minutes for a week, and we can still be invisible. We can still not be a part of a community. We're called to be more involved in one another's, in each other's lives. And I think going to Sunday school, coming to service and small group is not enough. Because we can still make decisions on our own, right? So the Bible calls us, hey, do you have a community where you can discuss? Do you have a community where you can go to make a decision together with somebody? Like, so for some of you, I know you are, some of you high school students, you are about to make decisions for college. Are you walking alone in this decision, or have you sought out people's, like, have you sought out some other older people's wisdom about, you know, which college should you go to? Should you go into this program? Which should you go into that program? Do you walk alone? Like, and so we're called to be more involved in each other's lives. We're called to be open. And so, and I love the picture that we had 2 weeks ago in Focus, right? 2 weeks ago in Focus, we had this idea, we did a dating night, and the picture of that was we had older people in our congregation come in, and they shared about their dating experiences. They shared about their experiences of singleness. And so I love that picture where we had the older and the younger coming together. And so this is the picture. Like, are we seen by each other? Do others know your anxiety? Do other people know what you're scared of? Do other people know what you're going through in life? So yesterday we had the CPYU seminar. In the CPYU seminar, we talked about depression. In the CPYU seminar, we talked about depression, we talked about suicide, we talked about self-injury and whatnot. And we talked about all these problems. And the thing is, that's happening in this room. We have students, we have adults here who are going through depression, who have suicidal thoughts. Do you know someone in here who is going through depression? Do we know someone in here who is cutting themselves? Do we know someone in here who's having a hard time? And here's the thing, a lot of the times we're walking alone. We're walking alone in our hurt, and we're walking alone in our pain. We're walking alone, and we're invisible to the community around us. And it's hard, right? And we're struggling by ourselves. So this membership is about being one body, being visible. It's about being vulnerable. It's about being open to it. It's about sharing your struggles. It's about sharing it's about letting someone see what's actually going on inside of you. And the second thing, and this kind of follows this idea of being one body, a second important thing about membership is you seek accountability. So when we join a church, we are offering ourselves to be encouraged, to be rebuked, to be corrected, and to serve. Right? This is what happens when you and I join a church. We are offering to be encouraged, rebuked, corrected, and to serve. And here, as we talked about, God has given the church, given the people this authority over your life. And so what happens here is, do we submit to the church's authority? Right? Do we submit to the leaders of this church? And look at Hebrews 13:7. If you look at Hebrews 13:7, I can read it for you if you don't turn there, but it says this. Hebrews 13:7. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy without groaning, for there will be no advantage due to you." And so when I say this word, submit to authority, or do you submit to people around you, it's not so much of a, you follow the orders of what someone does. It's not so much of a, you follow, I command you to do something and you have to follow it. But rather, if you look at submitting to leadership, if you look at it, it says, look, when you obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. So this idea of submitting, is not so much of a do what I tell you to do, but it's more so coming under the care of the leaders. It's more so coming under the care of those who's in charge. And so if anything, right, we have this idea where we submit to the care. And at the same time, in James 5:13, he says to confess your sins. And so we have to be accountable. And like this is the idea of, there's going to be other people around you who can keep you accountable. There are going to be other people around you who will care for your sins, and you will confess your sins, and that you will fight with together, right? And so the question I have to you is,
Are we open with our lives to be examined? Are we open with our lives to be examined? Will you give someone access to your search history and your website history? You know, there are websites, I think it's Covenant Eyes, where you can, it will track all your search history, it will track your history, and it will send it to someone else. It will send it to your partner, it will send it to whoever you want. Are we open to having someone examine our lives? Another thing is, will you show your bank account to someone? And I know this might be frowned upon in our culture. I know this may be frowned upon, like, you don't ask someone how much they make. Like, this is not right. Like, you don't ask someone how much they make or how much are they giving. But how come we're so close off? Are we open to being examined? Because we have to begin to tell people how much we make. Because if we tell them how much we make and then how much we begin to give, then they can begin, other people can begin to keep us accountable and hold us accountable to you know, where our hearts are at. They can keep us accountable, you know, and they can go, hey, you know what, I think your bank account might be King instead of Jesus. I think by your giving, I think, you know, it looks like you're holding on to some things within your life. And this is crazy. It's out there. It's frowned upon. You don't tell people how much you make. You don't tell people these things, but are we open to be examined? It's tax season. Will you be willing to give people your tax papers? Everything. Will you allow someone to examine you? Will you be, you know, give someone your papers to say, you know what? Hey, take my tax papers. I've been honest with everything. I'm honest with it. Keep me accountable. I don't want to walk in sin. So do we fight sin together? Because this isn't about what should we do or are we right, but rather it's about, you know, do we come under the care of people? Or do we follow under this idea of we're joining one body? Because if you don't join under one body, we can't tell. We can't keep you accountable to your membership. We can't keep you accountable to your faith. You say you proclaim Jesus, but I have no way of seeing that you proclaim Jesus. You say you proclaim Jesus as your Lord, but I have no way to see if He's the Lord of your kids. I have no way to see if He's Lord of your bank account. I have no way to see if He's Lord of your, you know, everything that you're saying at school. I have no way to see it. Do we fight sin together? How many people in here do you know that has a porn addiction in here? Yesterday, another things that we talked about yesterday at CPYU was this idea is that so many people, so many of our youth are struggling with porn. I think it was like 4 out of 10 at least. Do you know which one of the guys in here, which one of the girls in here struggle with porn? Because what's going to happen is they're going to walk alone in that sin. And they have no one around them to help them out of that struggle. They have no one to help them out of that sin. They have no one to help them. Hey, this is what sex was meant to be. And don't fall into this perversion of sex. Don't fall into this perversion of what God's given us. And they need someone to walk with them. They need someone to tell them. They need someone to fight with them. In the same way, maybe it's not one of you younger ones. Maybe it's you, one of you, the older guys in here. Maybe it's one of you older women in here. Are you walking alone? Are you being vulnerable? Have you told someone, this is what I'm struggling with? I'm struggling with image issues. I'm struggling with security issues. I'm struggling with being accepted. And so we walk alone, we walk by ourselves, we don't seek accountability, and I hope we begin to do some of these things. Because if we begin to fight sin together, then this will affect our proclamation of Jesus. Then the others can come in and say, I know you're dealing with a sin, but I know that you love Jesus and that you want to get rid of this sin. I know that you love Jesus and you want to pursue Jesus. I know what you long for. And I know this is what we do. We care for one another. We take on one another's burdens. And we walk and we go, hey, this is what it means to be part of this, being a member. So are we vulnerable? I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's awkward. I know it's embarrassing. And I know it's shameful to open up to someone. I know it's things. But here's the thing. I know it's even more lonely to walk alone in these things. We got to give accountability. We got to take it. We got to take this accountability. And I love it. Like two weeks ago, I was in a message with a few of these students, and then one of the kids was just like, hey, you need to get off Snapchat. Like, you just need to do it. You just need to get off of it. And I like that. I like how they called each other out. Because once you are a member of this church, and once you go, I am a believer of Jesus, I am part of this body, you're open to accountability from others. You're saying, keep me accountable to my faith. It is, keep me accountable to what I have proclaimed. And so if you see me walking out of line with what I'm saying, you have to keep me accountable. It is not so much of you need to stop doing this, but rather it's as much of a, hey, you're not walking according to what you have said. So we got to, as a church member, and church membership is saying, hey, you know what? Do you or do you not proclaim Jesus? Are you walking in line with that faith? Are you walking in line with what you proclaim? Because church membership is a promise. Church membership is a commitment. Church membership is a covenant. Right? It's a picture of the gospel. So we know the gospel. The gospel is this idea of Jesus. He laid down his life so that we may have life. He laid down his life so that his bride, the church, may have life. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for him. Gave himself up for her. And so if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, he goes, you know, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. Christ is about the church's sanctification. He is about the church's sanctification. She has to be pure. And so it's the same thing. This covenant here is about, are we being pure? This covenant here is about our commitment. As Christ is a reflection of Christ's commitment to us, is a reflection of Christ's covenant with us, and he is committed to the purity of his bride. He is committed, he's in this covenant relationship with his bride, and he's here for the washing of our sins, and so we should be the same. We should be after each other's sins. We should care for one another's sins. We should be in a covenant relationship with each other, and so that we can seek accountability to get rid of sin among us. So your membership is your promise. It is your commitment to the church. It is the well-being. It is your commitment to the well-being of this church. This is what the membership is about. It is your commitment and promise to care for its members. But it is also our promise to you. It's always about what is your membership, what is your promise, but it is also the church's promise to you. It is the church's promise to care for its members. It is our commitment to you. It is our covenant with you. And it is your covenant with us and ours with you. And so, yes, I think if you are in here, if you've been attending here for a while, if you've been here for years and you haven't joined us, if you haven't been in this membership, and it's kind of like saying, I'm going to date you forever and I'm not going to make a covenant with you. It's like as if last year June 6th didn't happen for me and Christine. It's just like me saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to date you. I love you, and I'm going to care for you. I'm going to take you on dates and take you to Fufu Cafe all the time and whatnot. I'm going to feed you. But you know what? I'm not going to make a covenant with you. I'm not going to make a promise to you. I'm not going to you know, I'll serve you, but I won't have to, you know, stick with you. So it's this covenant, it's this promise, it's this picture of Christ who is committed after committed to His church, who has a covenant with His bride. And that is what we do. It is our commitment to each other. It is us saying we're here together. We're going to fight together. We're going to care for one another. We're going to love one another. We're going to carry each other's burdens. And I promise to be with you. I promise that I will not forsake you in times as hard. I will forgive you when you hurt me. I will look past your sins against me. It's about that one another. It's about that body. It's about the church's proclamation of Jesus as King. But here's the thing, guys. Jesus is our King. He is ruler over all. He is the one who has come down and laid down His life for us. He is the one who has laid down His life for sinners. And so this is what we do. This is what we represent. And this is who we're representing. And this is the message that we're representing. This is why church membership matters, because this is how we hold each other accountable to what we proclaim and what we profess. And that is Jesus is King. And He has saved us. He has loved us. He is for us. And He is coming after us. He's coming after us. He has come after our sin. And so He is after our growth. He is after a body who will represent Him. Let's pray. God, I pray that Your words will be... I pray that Your words would speak so much louder to my words here. And that we would feel the weight of the responsibility that is given to us in membership. That we will feel the weight of the responsibility that is given to us to care for one another, to walk with one another, to not give up meeting with one another. So would you help us to be a community that reflects what You have done for us? Would You help us to be a community that reflects and holds each other accountable to what our proclamations have been? That You are our King. That You have saved us. That You have stood in between us and God. And that You have made a way for us. So this is what we proclaim. This is what we're going to hold on to as a community. So would You help us in this? In Your name I pray. Amen.